The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Glorious. It's 7 o'clock, St. Louis, and you're tuned in to the Heavy Hitters on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
When I'm driving the car, I get to choose the radio station.
As they break down sports, pop culture, and everything STL.
We need to turn it up. Let's turn it up. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Monday evening edition of the Heavy Hitters. Matt Berger, Patrick Blair, and Dan Buffa behind the microphones. John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials, and we are live from the Frank and Helen's Pizzeria Studios, right here on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. The Bellman Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255. The text line, 855-282-8255. And you can tweet the show as well at 590 Heavy Hitters. Joining us at 7:20, I'm really looking forward to talking to this guy.
Yeah.
Will be boxing writer for HBO.com and author of the best-selling book, The Great White Bear. Kieran Mulvaney, all guests appear courtesy of Bellman Automotive, BellmanCDJR.com. Rest in peace to the great Chuck Berry, and I mean great as in musical talent and one of the biggest influences on music in the history of modern music.
He basically created rock and roll.
Yeah, I understand the whole thing about him, you know, videotaping women using the bathroom and him and Jerry Lee Lewis kind of having the same taste for girls that are a little bit underage. Not here to praise him. I'm just here to bury him. That's it.
I think musicians live a very, especially like a lot of the older ones, they live a certain life and they're not perfect human beings, but what the effect that he had, it's going to reverberate over the decades, and especially now that we know there's new Chuck Berry music coming out, supposedly another album called Chuck that's going to come out in the next year. I think his influence doesn't really outweigh or overshadow what the bad things he did, but the guy's legacy speaks for itself.
He did not have a direct influence in everything you're hearing on the radio today, but he influenced the people who influenced the people.
Yeah, I mean, he inspired a bunch of people. Today.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. If you look at Twitter and everybody that was, RPing Chuck Berry, you had Mick Jagger and Keith Richards,
yeah.
Bruce Springsteen, Justin Timberlake, everybody. Everybody has an understanding of what Chuck Berry, the musician, meant to modern music.
He's almost one of those guys where even if you're not a hardcore fan, you still know what he did and who he is and the impact he had. I mean, it's hard to ignore. A guy wasn't the biggest David Bowie fan. But I knew his music. I knew the impact he had on a bunch of musicians. I know that guy, kind of like Jimi Hendrix, Bob Marley. Their music reverberates still today, and they've been dead for decades.
I'm just waiting for the one musician in the studio to pipe in here.
Oh, you guys are saying it all. You don't need me to say anything.
Okay. Well, we're
if
waiting.
If you've heard a blues riff, chances are it was ripped off. It was stolen from Chuck Berry. I'm just saying.
You know, you're
Led
right.
Led Zeppelin does not exist without Chuck Berry.
No.
You could almost say that Elvis Presley does not exist without Chuck Berry.
Oh, without a question.
Yeah, I mean,
that's common knowledge. It should be.
And even to a smaller scale, the band I'm listening to, BRMC, who it's rock and roll 100%, they probably can't get around for 10, 15 years without Chuck Berry.
When I was watching that Eagles documentary, it was on Showtime a couple years ago. It's fantastic. It's long. It's like 3 hours long, but
really?
It's so
three
good.
3 hours.
Yeah. But and towards the end, they're talking about when they got back together for the Hell Freezes Over tour, and they had that one song, "Get Over It," that Don Henley wrote. And they're showing the group sitting together and actually them writing the song. And Glenn Frey's like, it's your standard Chuck Berry, riff. It's just he just said it right there. It's like, we're not even going to disguise it. We're ripping off Chuck Berry.
It's
the Chuck Berry riff. So here we go.
That's all music is anyway.
You're right.
It's imitation. That's all it is.
You play guitar. I mean, a couple chords, and that's pretty much it.
Well, I mean, there's there's only so much you can do.
There.
But it's when writing a song, there's just no. It's so difficult these days to be original and say that that song is truly original. So a lot of people are still to this day angry at the fact that Elvis was the more popular of the two. Elvis sort of took the nation by storm. And
well,
I wonder why
that was.
Might have been skin color. But if you know the story of Elvis and Sun Records, Sun Records was trying to put out Elvis Presley for years, but they wanted a white guy to do it.
Yeah.
And Elvis just so happened to have the magic formula. I don't know what it is, but...
I think it's called the voice and the pelvis.
Something like that. But Chuck Berry, you know, many people will argue that, hey, that's Chuck Berry is the original guy, not Elvis. And everyone knows that. Just got to do a little research. Just Google it.
Yeah, Google. I mean, like you want to know about somebody's influence these days, what they've done, Google.
That's a lot of it.
I mean, it really is. I mean, it's not going to tell you the whole picture, but it'll give you videos. It'll give you information. It'll lead you. It's almost like kicking open the door.
Before we get to Big Al on the Bellman Automotive phone line, thoughts and prayers for our friend Fred Slow, who was has a case of Bell's palsy over the weekend. So get better soon, buddy.
He's auditioning for the next Pirates of the Caribbean film. He has the eye patch. He's rocking the eye patch.
He is having fun with it on Facebook. I'll give him that.
I feel bad because I nominated him for the 22 push-up challenge. And then
and I look what you
day,
did to him. You broke
and then
him.
The next day, I see him in a hospital bed.
But he can look badass
way to
doing
go,
it
Patrick.
Now. He's got the patch on. He's like, ugh.
I didn't know. I'm sorry.
Sorry,
Fred.
Let's head to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and Big Al joins us. Good evening, Big Al. How are you, sir?
Well, one day you'll see me in Normandy, and probably the next day I'll be in the hospital. So all you guys, do not bring me bleach and make me drink it, thinking I'm having some water or something.
What's on your mind, sir?
I got a great Chuck Berry story. So there's a great band, Lenny Kravitz Jr. His name is Mike Matthews, and he happens to be one of my friends who stays across the street with a girl, and he has a huge sound studio in there. So they practice across the street, and he was practicing one day, and this beautiful sister comes walking across the driveway. And Mike walked her over and said, "This is Big Al. He's my dude." And she brought a bottle of wine with her. And me and my, thank you for always asking about my lovely bride, Jeannie, and Ingrid Berry sat on my driveway, you guys, drinking wine. And when my friend Mike Matthews was playing and practicing and said, "That guy there could have been somebody, but he never would leave St. Louis because of his family and his mom." So I encourage everybody to go out and see Mike Matthews' project. He is awesome. And when Ingrid Berry speaks, you better listen. And I think I'm probably going to the funeral through him because we had a great time. We sat there for 2 hours getting smashed up.
I heard
and
people.
She's very beautiful. And, well, God bless her. Because I texted right after it happened and said, "Tell Ing, we're sorry."
Well, Big Al, you kind of live out that way, don't you? Don't you live in Wentzville?
Lake St. Louis.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard people...
And my buddy... Go ahead.
I've heard people in Wentzville talk about, like, they would see Chuck Berry out, like, at Walmart, walking around with that... sailor's cap on or something like that. It's like, how weird is that? There's a legend right there, 2 aisles away from you, looking at pickles.
I used to go to the boat, and I still do, and Chuck would show up, you guys, and he'd be in that hat. And if you walk into Ameristar all the way to the straight wall and make a left by the bar, right in the middle there is big dollar machines. And Chuck Berry was playing $5 machine boys with 3 poles. He was playing $15 a pole and staying there forever.
Chuck Berry and the One Armed Bandit. That could be the name of his band.
$15 a pop.
Crazy.
That is crazy. Love you, boys.
Have a good day, Big Alan. Say hi to your wife for me. And that's one thing I always heard that people love the most about Chuck Berry is that he never left here. I mean, had plenty of opportunities to. Yeah. And he never did. And that's and I said it, Patrick, how many times that you and I had this conversation talking about like need to go out and see these artists before they're no longer with us. And I've said that out for years about Chuck Berry. Every single time I would see an advertisement that he was at the Duck Room at Blueberry Hill. I'm like, I need to go because one of these days, Chuck Berry isn't going to be there anymore. And
you never did, did you?
I never did.
The many things you take for granted. I mean, and that's with everything, not just people. Like you think, okay, he's going to be around. We're going to have a chance to see him, but then he's gone. I mean, that's the way life is. But I do respect him for sticking around because the influence he had and the success he had, and really just not just the music, it was the persona that he gave off everywhere he went. He could have easily went, you know, left St. Louis, but he never did.
It's important to have an icon out of your city. If you care about St. Louis and you care about the music that comes out of this city, to have someone of that stature
absolutely
be representing St. Louis in the music scene, because still, If you remember the Sonic Highways show on HBO that Foo Fighters did?
Yeah.
And how they went to all those cities and they made it seem like these cities just had such a rich, rich tradition of music, and everyone was a community when it came to music. St. Louis is that way. You just, like I said, you have to do a little digging.
You do.
It's not on the surface as much as, never mind, I won't call out a local newspaper here, but it's not as on the surface as some people make it seem.
Would that newspaper have three letters?
I don't know.
Would it have
Robert Franklin Thomas?
Would it rhyme with Moose Batch?
No, it's not that one.
Oh. I think it's the one I said.
Oh.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Does it have to do with a front with water in it?
I'm just saying there are artists out there that don't have a mustache that are still great musical artists. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a mustache.
Yeah,
but it helps.
You don't have to wear man purses. You don't have to wear suspenders.
Let it rip.
You don't have to have a beard.
Get the gong back.
Keep it flying there, Badger. Keep going.
Let it rip, man. Just let it get. Hold on. Here you go.
You don't have to play one venue every 2 weeks. You play everywhere. There are more venues than. Never mind.
Oh, anyway. No. This is the radio is where you don't have to say never mind. You can just keep going and going and ripping into it. This is what we're doing.
Also, upsetting news coming out of the NFL today with Dwight Clark announcing that he has been diagnosed with ALS.
Terrible disease.
Absolutely terrible. Terrible to hear.
If anybody's seen Gleason, you know what's ahead for not just a football player, but anybody battling that terrible disease.
That's one of those diseases that, man, I don't know how I would react if I was ever given that diagnosis.
Well, that was the most powerful part of that movie when that documentary came out last year. I was mad it wasn't nominated for an Oscar, was Gleason. They took you through when he was first like diagnosed and just the look on his face of his wife and himself knowing what was ahead, because everybody knows what it entails and who's in, how it started.
I've never seen Gleason, but I think one of the best shows on TV is HBO's Vice.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, they will do a half-hour special dedicated to some issue, and one of them was ALS. And, you know, they show this woman who's basically who was producing and narrating the story was about her diagnosis of ALS, and the camera was there to tell her, and just the look of horror on her face. And they talked to people who have currently are currently battling ALS, and they said the worst thing about it is that you know that what you're going through. It's like your mind doesn't go. Your body goes, but your mind doesn't go. And they said that's the worst thing about it is that you know how you used to be. You know what you used to do.
Yeah.
And you know that you can no longer do it. And they said that's the worst thing about it.
Yeah. I mean, you pretty much know that train that you're on is going one way, and it's only going to get worse. And the fact that you're having something that doesn't really have a cure at all, that you know where it's going is just terrible. I mean, it's tough. I mean, you have to have a certain kind of strength to battle it, but it's terrible, tough disease.
Like, it's one of those that if I was ever given that diagnosis, the misfortune of ever having that diagnosis, I don't know what I would do, like what my reaction would be, but it would probably not be good.
It would, yeah. I mean, because essentially what we do, we get used to doing, being able to do certain things. Whether we do them or not frequently, we still get used to being able to go to the gym, you know, pick up our kids, do stuff like that. You know, if I couldn't write, I mean, that would just, and if I knew I wasn't going to be able to write, that would be just terrible. But you also know you're going to miss a certain part of your life, and you know that there's no way to, you know, to avoid it or beat it. That's just tough.
Big Al texting and tries stage 4 breast cancer. He's right. I mean, there are lots of horrible diseases out there, but I mean,
oh sure,
like with stage 4 breast cancer, you do have a small chance, but you do have a chance, and Big Al's wife is one of those who's beating the odds. With ALS, your chances aren't very good. I mean, it's almost a freight train. It's almost a death sentence.
It really is, and it's also not even. It moves in a very slow manner, and it kind of slowly takes you over. But it's assured it's going to keep going. I mean, like I said, I knew vaguely about it before I watched that documentary. But if you want to know more about it, it's not even just the football aspect of Steve Gleason. It's just the fact that they show even the times where he's way into it. And he's just trying to have a conversation with his wife, and he's talking through a little computer system, and it's just, they take you from the beginning to the end.
Yeah, they show you
everything.
They show you him blocking that punt and that first game
at
the Superdome in what was it, 2006? It was the first game of the Superdome against the Atlanta Falcons.
After Katrina.
After Hurricane Katrina.
There's a statue of him outside in front of the thing. But the toughest part of that movie for me was was when they're going just for a swim, and he's just being diagnosed, and his wife is looking at him going into the pool, swimming around, and she knows that he isn't going to be able to do this in a matter of time. That, for me, just got me. And of course, where he goes back onto the field with Drew Brees years later, to I guess for opening kickoff or something. It's just a powerful film, but it also informs you full-fledged, no-holds-barred, what the disease is.
Let's take a commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to be joined by boxing writer for HBO.com and author of the best-selling book, The Great White Bear, Kieran Mulvaney. He'll be on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You're listening to The Heavy Hitters, and we are live from the Frank and Helen's Pizzeria Studios right here on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens.